creation. The official feast begins when the shofar is given, a blast and several blasts. But more than anything else, it's because there are three visible stars in the heaven. And I learned that at the Wailing Wall many years ago. I didn't understand the excitement because everything was so quiet when I got there. But then all of a sudden, hundreds and hundreds of men were jumping up and down, giving out shouts of glory to God. And I couldn't understand, and my friend said to me, "You don't comprehend it." I said, "No, I don't." I said, "Why are they all looking up?" And finally he said to me, "It's because there are three stars. The first two showed up and there was a little bit of excitement, and then the cloud moved, and needless to say, the third star showed up." So I want you to just close your eyes right now and say, "Father, the official Passover starts now. Because you have confirmed it by three stars in the heavens. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. Give me a heart to perceive, ears to hear, and eyes to see what your word says in Exodus 12. Amen. Verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people they are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be a year old male without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire. Head, legs, inner parts. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloaks tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." You see, I could keep on going in that area, but I want to give you another little piece that may help you. Leviticus 23 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites,'" verse 1 and 2. "Say to them, 'These are my appointed feasts.'" Notice it's not yours. "These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you must work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work, whether you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times," not when you feel like it. Got it? And I could go on and on. I'm trying to give you an understanding of why we gather for this Passover feast, why we take time to be with together, and the reason for the Lamb. I'm also trying to give you an understanding that when Jesus broke the bread, he was following a tradition. They were accustomed to taking the Passover meal together. And I could go to the New Testament, and yet you can do research on your own. But the whole of the communion process that we do every single Sunday, as best we can, unless the Lord dictates differently, we take time and we listen. We take time and we try to the best of our ability to obey what the Holy Spirit's called us to do and to be. Is it going to be like the neighbors? No. It's going to be as best we can according to what he's told us and showed us to do. Is it something that will please people? Well, are we trying to please people or God? We're trying to please him. His word tells us clearly, 3 times a year to do this. Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. I can tell you that it has created many, many things over the years, including persecution, because people want to follow the traditions of men rather than obeying to the best of our ability what God has called us to do. Scripture says the body of Christ, all of them, have something to give. It may not be now, but you have something to give. And a lot of times, we're always waiting for the other guy. Oh, well, Peggy will have it. Oh, well, Olivia will have it. But tonight they both, plus a few extra. And you know, don't tell the Lord you can't be used. Please don't do that. Okay? Be aware that he wants to use every single vessel. Okay? And you say, well, I'm not quite ready. Well, guess who's the one that can get you ready? Got it? I'm going to take you very, very briefly into the Word. Hebrews chapter 4. I got this yesterday. It bounced in again today. And then it was confirmed loud and clear. And I'm going to give you the verse he confirmed, which is verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. So in case you've got a covering on your head thinking that you've hidden from him, I've got news for you. He knows how to burn it up. Okay? Again, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And you know, sometimes we have this mental attitude, which is what we talked about a little bit on Tuesday, that, I'm going to hurry up and die, and then all my troubles will be over, and I will be sleeping on the most comfortable cloud. It'll be just wonderful. And believe me, you're going to have a rude awakening if that's what you're waiting for, because it's not going to happen. He's preparing you to be a part of his kingdom. How many know that in a kingdom, there's all kinds of different levels of authority? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a king. But under the king, there's what? Huh? A lot of different positions all over the kingdom. And they're all going to be wonderfully coordinated together as one unit under the head. So nothing is hidden from his eyes. He knows where you came from. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And I agree that when I was in Israel too, I got crashed in. I got cooked. I got flipped over. I got cooked on the other side. And when he was done on those sides, he flipped me upside down and he did it again. Okay? All I think I did was, while I was there, is cry. Because he was impacting me. remember my first Passover. My first Passover was very different than what I expected. When I purposed in my heart to obey him, because I was trying to make sure that I was going to give an account. And I was going to give an account now. I wasn't going to wait until I was dead. You say, well, death is not something I'm looking forward to. Well, how about the death of your attitude? Could you handle that? How about the death of your ideas? Maybe they need to die and some new ones need to come in. And Passover is the time to get over it. Whatever you've had in the past, you can run over it. Just pass over it. While the Egyptians were in Egypt, controlling all of the Hebrews had nothing to say. They were slaves. Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, took them out of there, and he used Moses to set up a new kingdom. It was a kingdom of freedom. It was awesome. They were all healed. But you know what? They didn't appreciate it. And they really started to complain. And God provided every time they complained. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Did they have a high priest when they were coming out of Egypt? Did they have a high priest when they were coming out of Egypt?
Not yet.
Not yet. No. It was for further down the road. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. You see, that lamb was so perfect that even the hierarchy of Israel couldn't find anything wrong, except for one thing. He declared to them that he was the Messiah, and they couldn't handle it. Because the Messiah had a list of credentials that they were waiting for, and he didn't fit. He didn't fit. Notice the word that came out of the Spirit of the Father. He's prepared you to obey. That's what I got. Prepared you to obey. Preparing you to obey is going to go very different than religion. Very, very different. It's not going to be like the old covenant. Yet the old covenant will be completed through the new kingdom. The kingdom authority that he's about to give you, you will be able to handle it if you learn to stay obedient. And if you're still selfish, he's going to make sure that you have an opportunity to get it burned up. Okay? That selfishness that causes you to do your own thing in order to survive. How many have had that problem? Thank you. In order to survive the pressure. Okay? The pressure to perform. The pressure to do this one. The pressure to whatever. Please somebody. Just not to get any more rejection. I've been there. I've lived there. But you know what? There's a day coming when God is going to put his authority back in the church by the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 is not completed yet. Okay? The signs and wonders in Acts chapter 3 are going to be awesome. How many know we're living in the third act? I saw that on the internet this week. I was excited. Because it's really spelling the third day. That's what it's spelling. Okay? And what we've had for 2,000 years is a bunch of stuff that's trying to get back to Acts chapter 2 and 1. Pretty intense. This morning, my little great-granddaughter slept at the house last night, and Irene had a commission to go help one of her girlfriends because her husband just came out of the hospital. He's not allowed to drive and blah, 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 this and this and this. So anyway, my wife left, and I was commissioned to have a good time. So we sat at the computer for a little while because I was trying to check my email, but she was interested in all kinds of other goodies. And anyway, we ended up singing a song because there was a ministry that was singing a song about how exciting it is to serve the Lord. So we're both clapping our hands in front of the screen, and we're tapping and clapping, and she says to me, after they're all done singing, she says, "You know what, Pepe? Those bad guys nailed Jesus to that cross." I says, "Yeah, sweetheart." But I says, "You know what? He came alive again, right?" And she says, "Yes, and the angels were having a party." Well, we went to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Land Experience. That's what I put up here. And while we were there, they have a new church, and it's called the Church for All Nations, which I did purchase a little one of their plaques. And we had an experience there because I had asked the Lord, "Whatever my grandson and his wife want to do, let them direct the traffic. We'll follow." My wife and I followed. We said nothing. We just let them make the choices that were important to them. And one of the important things was to go and watch the whole of the crucifixion scene, which was in the church. And it was very, very outstanding. And of course, Gabriella was sitting with her dad and her mom. They were kind of in the backdrop. And as God would ordain it, one of the ladies that we had spoken to previously at another function said to my wife and I, "Would you like to sit on the first floor? I have a couple of seats in the front." So we ended up sitting in the second row. I mean, talk about front and center. We couldn't get any closer. What I am saying is the intensity of the sketch that they performed was very outstanding. But the most outstanding was to see Jesus with his garments. They were exquisite. And at the end, he had an incredible train that was deep royal blue velvet. And it was all encircled with silver and gold. And then the angels all came and they all laid their crowns on the cape. The cape, by the way, was about 35 or 40 feet long, so that gives you a clue. It went right down center aisle. And of course, for Gabby, this would be something totally, totally new because she does go to church now. Don't get me wrong. She goes to church, but this wasn't church. This was drama. And the kids today, you know, they're accustomed to TV, they're accustomed to internet, they're accustomed to this game, that game, and be a part of. And every person in that church was a part of it because the way it was designed, the way that they had everything put together, you were a part. We're also going to be a part tonight. So if you'll join your hands to the neighbor, I just want you to be remembering the last verse that I want to give you, verse 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Amen? In our time of need. That's why we can approach and receive what he's prepared for us. And all of God's people said? Amen. And amen. You can go over that word later on. And I want to remind you, just in case the anointing falls tonight, that tomorrow morning it's 11. Some people started at 12 today, but tomorrow morning it's at 11. Okay? And obviously tomorrow night as well at 7. But I do believe, as the Lord leads you, I'm going to anoint you with the blood of the Lamb. And I'm expecting... Now try it on. Say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I'm expecting
to receive
what you've prepared for me."
And when this lamb
was laid in the grave,
he rose again
without any scars
except
those in his hands
and
in his feet.
Likewise,
I'm looking for perfection.
And full healing.
In this body.
Not next year.
Today.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.